Go to Mark chapter 4. Hallelujah. So we're going to begin with Mark 4. We'll be in Deuteronomy. We'll be in Proverbs. We'll be back over into the New Testament. And this right here is the backbone of everything we do. No matter what mysteries God gives you, if you don't interact with what God's given you, everybody always wants something more. But if you'd be amazed with what God's already given you. It's what you do with what he's given you. It's what you do with it that causes it to come alive. God can give you a word that causes you to be on a mountain, and in a month's time you'll be back down in the valley. But that word has the power to put you on the mountain and sustain you. But you have to learn how to interact with it. It has life. It's born out of life. It was spoken out from the kingdom of God. But you have to stay with it for continued life. You let go of it, the life will diminish. The word doesn't diminish. It's you that diminishes because you're not connected with it. That's what the Lord said, abide in me, the living word. And he goes, and my word will abide in you, and then you can ask what you will. Sometimes that process may take a long time. The Bible says the just will live by faith. You learn to do that all the time. It's just a part of what you do. Any athlete in the earth, it doesn't matter if they're good at what they do, they practice. They're constantly staying in what they're doing. You have to stay in it. Amen. You can't let go. We're running a race that's far superior than any race in the earth, but you can't let go. You can't afford to let go. Because if you ever get in faith, you get marked by the enemy. And if you get marked and you get out of faith, He has no mercy. And if you get out of faith and let your sword down, he'll run over you and keep running over you. You can't afford to lay down in this hour. You have to learn how to get into faith and stay there. Amen. It doesn't take a lot once you stay there. It just takes a discipline and a skill set. Faith is a skill set. Say faith is a skill set. You have to learn how to do it. It's like golf. You have to learn how to do it. I see guys all the time just smacking away, thinking the harder they hit that ball, the more it's going to go. And then another guy is just smooth as silk, and he just sends it. It's a technique you learn. The same thing with faith. It's a technique. There are techniques in faith. When you learn to do it, you'll get above the mountains. You'll get above yourself. You'll get above your weaknesses. You'll make an exchange for who you are for who he is. Faith is an amazing operation. Praise God. So Mark chapter 4, verse 11, it said unto them, unto you, in verse 11, he says, given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto them without, these things are done in parables. Honor you, but know the mysteries. This whole chapter is about the mysteries. He said in verse 13, he says, do you not know this parable? How then will you know any parable? This whole operation, of the word, he spoke about the sower sowed the word. He sowed a seed. The Father sent his Son as a seed to die in the ground. And then that seed would resurrect. And that seed would bring forth life. A life that we don't even really understand yet, other than being born again, life in our spirit. But we don't understand the next level of that life. Its life will emanate from our body for eternity. Our body will inherit eternal life. Your mind's going to inherit eternal life. Your soul will inherit eternal life and manifest life from within for eternity. There'll be no end to the life that flows out of you. That's the true salvation. It's the completed finality of salvation. We always start with being born again and wait for the day. Well, you don't have to wait for the day. Now, verse 20 said, these are they were sown on good ground. Say, I'm good ground. Such as hear the word and receive it. Now, when you put all the parables he spoke together, he said, hear the word, receive it, bring forth some 30, some 60. And some 100. Which some are you going to be in? I'm a 100-folder. Hallelujah. 100-folder going somewhere to manifest. But you put all three parables and you have to put them together. All three of them, he spoke it in Luke 8 and Matthew 13. When we put them all together, he said, such as hear, every one of them said, hear the word. Say, hear the word. One of them said, hear the word and receive it. The other one said, hear the word and understand it. And the other one said, hear the word and keep it. Anybody can hear the word. In fact, in Mark 4, he talked about those that they had joy for a season. Then the enemy came with persecution and afflictions. And he stole the word. There are some that made it through persecution and affliction. But then the cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things, the world system came and drowned it out. But then there are some that went all the way. They made it through because they kept. They understood the word. They kept it. They received it. They understood it. And they kept it. To keep the word of God is not come to church and have your Bible open. That is not what we're... To keep the word of God is been described from the beginning to the end. And I'll take you back a little journey on keeping the word. Go back to Deuteronomy 6. Hallelujah. It's really amazing. It took a little while to do, but it's amazing how we can do the whole mountain now in an hour's time. Go up, exchange, into the Father, on into the things to come, come back and speak to the enemy. I don't even address the enemy till I'm clothed. You gotta get clothed. You gotta exchange who you are. That's why you go up. You make an exchange. Or you go in or go through the door. You make an exchange. You clothed and then address the enemy. You'll address him with power if you learn to do this. And he will obey the word of the Lord in you. You can shout at the enemy all day long, but the enemy understands authority, and authority is received. Amen. You have it all positionally, but you gotta, it's just like you're positionally the righteousness of God, but you gotta exchange and appropriate that where he takes off the old man. He puts the new man on. Amen. So Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. When you pursue God, it will require loving him with all, even your focus. When you're in prayer, is your mind all solving tomorrow or yesterday, or are you in a state of focus? In the beginning, when I was trained to pray in tongues a lot through my spiritual father, I didn't need my mind. I could watch football and pray in tongues. Because your mind's unfruitful. You don't need your mind to pray in tongues. You can just pray. You can read a book and pray in tongues. You watch TV and pray in tongues because your spirit's praying. But when you're venturing into the mountain of God, it's going to require your focus. It's your focused awareness on the living word. And that's how you're going to keep it. The way you keep it is through a focus. Moses is going to talk about this. And these words, verse 6, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. He gave them the promised land. He expected them to keep it. There are not very many of them that did. The ones who did went in. The ones who did not fell aside. Whole generation died off in unbelief. And God was not happy with them. He said, because they did not mix the faith. We're a prophetic generation that has to mix faith. The fact is, not everybody's going to do that. But there are going to be some who will. And those who will, they're going to shake the world. Hallelujah. Now watch, he says, they're going to be where? In your heart. They have to remain there. The way it remains there, you keep that. And these words will be in the heart. You'll teach them to the children. Talk. They're going to be in your mouth. When you sit us in thy house, when you walk us by thy way, when you go up, when you go down. He said, bind them for a sign upon thy hand. And that shall be in the frontlets of thine eyes. Today, it's the frontlets of our spiritual man. There's a man named David Cohen. He's a remarkable man. I think he went on to heaven. But he was blind in one eye, so he had a glass eye. God did something really remarkable with him. He could take his glass eye out and read perfectly with no eyeball. Scientists would come in and tape the whole left side of his face. And he would take the eyeball out and he could completely see and read. It was a reverse miracle. God let his spiritual eye look in. You have a spiritual eye. You know, when the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes, that wasn't the eyes of his body. His body was 6 foot in a grave. He said, send Lazarus, may dip the tip of his finger. Lazarus' body was 6 foot in a grave, but he had a finger. You got a spiritual tongue that he may dip my tongue in this flame. Your body clothes this spirit man. You have all those features. It's just made of spirit. Amen. The eye of faith that we have is more precious than anything. It allows you to see in the unseen realm. Everybody, I'm not talking about God give me an encounter where I can see an angel. I'm talking about seeing by the awareness of the living word. When you keep his word, it will light you up from the inside. When it lights you up, you're able to see by an awareness. I don't need to see an angel manifest in front of me to know. I don't need the Lord to come and stand in front of me. I would love for him to do, but I don't need that for faith to operate. That's just an encounter. We don't live by encounter, we live by faith. But you keep his word in your mouth. It's a work to do that. That's why he called it a work. Nobody in Christianity wants to work. It's a spiritual labor. Don't let anybody kid you. It's joyous at times. At other times, it's a discipline. But it's a work. What must we do to work? The works of God. Jesus said, this is the work of God, believe. Learn to do that. Amazing how you'd say something in one word, takes you a lifetime to figure it out. You have to keep these things in the frontlets of your eyes. You keep your life encompassed by that. There has to be a time in any part of your day where you give yourself to that word. You give your heart to it. You give your focus to it. It's a living word. It doesn't stop. It opens new realms for you. I promise you, if you just learn to keep the living door, he said, I am the door. If by me any man enters in, he'll go in and out and find pasture. I promise you, if you kept that word for a month, something would start happening. You would start making an entrance into a jurisdiction that's outside of this one. The word is not stale. It's living. It moves. It expands. It opens. He that followeth me will not walk in darkness. He's not just saying, you follow me to the other side of the world. Follow me into inheritance. Follow me into the Father of lights. Follow me beyond this jurisdiction. I am the door. If by any man entereth in, he'll go in. Where are you going in? And out. And you'll find the pasture. He's the one to show it to you. He's the living word. Go to Proverbs 4:13. We'll start there. We started with the door. And then we started moving in. And he taught us how to move in. He taught us how to exchange. He taught us how to move into the Father. He promised he'd bring us into the Father and spend a whole year in the Father's love. It's the same love, but it's very much different. When you make it to the Father's love there, he can love dysfunction out of you. He didn't make me perfect. He just loved dysfunction out of me. He took the orphan out of me. There was still a lot there after the orphan, but at least he got the orphan out. But if you have an orphan, if you're a 40-year orphan or 50-year orphan, you're going to have a whole lot more issues than just being an orphan. Orphans breed dysfunction. And those dysfunction become strongholds, systems of thoughts governed by emotions that exalt themselves against the knowledge of Christ. And those have to be torn down. They become whole trees. They've grown up in mannerisms and action, reaction, behaviors, and those things have to be torn down because, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. They're built over 40 years sometime, but God's word will come in and tear the whole thing down. It's awesome when God tears the whole tree down. It's not an easy thing to do. It's glorious. Amen. So as we keep his word, Solomon said, verse 13, hold fast. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Well, Solomon saw wisdom as a woman, constantly referred to as a her. She is thy life. Verse 18, the path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more. Say it shines more and more. It's going to shine more and more. The way you get it to shine more and more is you keep it. Let go of it and you'll go from less to less. Let go of it. Everything gets darkened. When everything gets dark, you blink out. When you go try to pray, there's nothing there. When I pray, there's a whole word in front of me. I'm following it. As soon as I start my motor, which is my mouth, 8 out of 10 times I don't feel like it. But as soon as I get going, I start feeling like it. The flesh is weak. The Lord said, can you not pray an hour? The flesh is always going to be, the spirit be willing. Just set it in motion. When you set it in motion, it's off. It's off and running. And then you start, then the generator kicks in. And when the generator kicks in, whoa! You can't stop now. The flood of the word of God. You can't say it fast enough. In the beginning, it's like throwing a word out there, like my spiritual father. You throw the word out like a pancake and just drops flat on the ground. But in the end, it rolls out of you like living water. Like a generator. You can't stop it until it's done. It's like an offering. You gotta look at faith as like an offering. Look at it as an offering you give to God. You're going to benefit from this offering. You got to look at it as a sacrificial offering. Because there's times it's not going to feel. There's times you're going to feel alone. But there's times you're going to feel you're going to be on a mountain. But faith is an immovable force. When you have it, you will not be moved. The enemy can throw everything at you. Use all your weaknesses and God will resurrect you. A righteous man operating in faith can fall 7 times and he's going to get back up on the mountain. Because it's faith that puts you back on the mountain. Willpower is going to die in the process. Human sufficiency will die. It won't be enough to get you through. But faith in that living word will get you through. It will move you beyond anything you could ever done. Here is Solomon's words. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Proverbs 4:20. Give attendance. You're going to have to be attending. That means you got to get in the classroom of the word of God. To give attendance is you're not going to be able to be on your cell phone. Do not bring your cell phone into the prayer closet. Stop waking up to it. I know the tendency. I can do that because I know how to exchange, but when the word's not really a powerhouse in your life and you start filling your life with Facebook right off the bat, it's very hard to make that exchange because already you've plugged your mind into the world system. You've plugged your spirit over there. So to pull it back over, I mean, you got to have some kind of force to get over. Otherwise, you'll just get drowned out. You got to do it. Really, it's not that hard. The Lord said, can you not give me 1 hour? Because trust me, in that hour, he's going to train you to move mountains. It's amazing what you can do in an hour. A lot of times we're done in 50 minutes and we've done the whole thing. I'm talking about go all the way up, all the way down. Because he makes you effective. Amen. Praise God. Let them not, verse 21, depart from thine eyes. Don't let them depart. In the beginning, I used to literally keep them in the front of my eyes. Now I close my eyes. I keep them in the frontlets of my spiritual eye. When I close my eyes, I see the image the Word has produced. I move and I speak with that image. And if I stay with it, it grows. If I don't, it covers over. When it covers over, oh man. The enemy. Don't try to fight him in this jurisdiction until you're covered and clothed. He'll wear you down. You got to learn to move out, reclothe, come back and address him. Amen. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Keep them, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows. One translation says, flows the wellsprings of life. Your heart's everything. You got to keep it. Okay, go to Romans 10 real quick. He said it to Moses. He said it to Solomon. He said it to Paul. Romans 10, verse 6. The righteousness which is of faith speaks. There is no faith that doesn't speak. Faith speaks. But it speaks with an image, like Kim was saying. You got to speak. There has to be an intensity there. There has to be a focus there. It's not just words. It's all of you with it. I feel like sometimes a golf instructor, they make the thing so easy. Like, just do this. I'm like, it's so hard to do, but they make it look so simple. But only 1 out of 10 people can actually do it. Right. There's so many things in that harmony with that swing. It's the same way with faith. You have to learn how it works. And when you learn how it works, things happen. Good happen. Goodness. We haven't even got started yet. And we're still in goodness. We haven't even given birth yet, but we're in goodness now. Amen. He said, say not in that heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring him down. He's speaking of salvation here. Who shall descend into the deep to bring him up again? What saith it? The word is nigh thee. Say it's nigh thee. It's what? It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. The word of faith that we preach. It doesn't change. Here he's speaking of salvation. But you confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. It's a heart. Mouth, word. Say heart, mouth, word. Image, frontlets of the spiritual eye. It has to be there. You let it go, the enemy will take advantage of you. I promise you he will. I'm not speaking that over you. I'm just telling you, he has a system out there. You let it go, he'll come in. You'll go through unnecessary warfare in your life. You'll go through unnecessary pain. There are many things that you can stop doing, but that's not one of them. I've seen it. I have seen men of God that were in faith and they let go. I've seen how they age like that. I see how things start breaking down around. Things will break down if you don't stay. But man, when you stay, you're on a solid rock and everything around you can be crumbling, but you're not going down. This is my favorite, one of my favorite, and I haven't taught on this in years. Go to James 1. This is a mystery. I remember when I was at my spiritual father's camp meeting. It was a long time ago, 20 years ago. And man, I was, the glory of God, I was in that service. I was so undone. And they had this field in the back. I just walked out of the building. I walked out in this field in the back. There was a conference time and I just fell on my face in the middle of this field. And I was just weeping uncontrollably and God spoke to me. He goes, you want my definition of faith? I'm like, I'm in the middle of an encounter here, Lord. I'm in love. He goes, you want my definition of faith? I'm like, yeah. Because it's a state of seeing and saying that manifests Christ in you, to you, and through you. Because do you learn to see and say together and continue? You got to continue. Everybody can do it for a while. Wonder if the children of Israel, oh, he has compassion on you. You kept it for 10 years, but you turned aside after 10 years. But God loves you. Of course he loves you, but he turned aside. Those people didn't go in. The promised land is reserved for those who keep his word, who mix the faith. What's the one thing he asked of them? He gave them his word. He gave them an environment they had nothing to look at. Made it pretty easy for them. Gave them an environment that was not very appeasing. I mean, you wake up to a wilderness, you go to bed to a wilderness. Nothing to do. How boring can you get and still breathe? I mean, every day was the same scenery. You get the same thing to eat every day. You get the same water to drink every day. You look at the same people every day with the same issues every day in the same wilderness. I don't care if you move 10 or 20 miles, it's the same wilderness. You wake up, the sand. You go to bed, the sand. Desert. No life anywhere. Nothing to look at. That was God's grace. Why? Because he wanted them to only do one thing. Keep his word, look at it, and nothing else. Because there's nothing else to do. And none of them had to wake up 6 a.m. to go to their jobs. Their job was to wake up and eat the manna God gave to them. What else? What else are you going to do? I wonder how many of them just hung out in the tent all day long. He wanted them to learn to interact with what he said. Because the only life you're going to get in this wilderness is my word. There's no other place you're going to get anything else. There's no food unless I rain it down every day for you. Even your food, I'm not even going to have you go and make food out here. I'll rain it down for you every day. What was he trying to teach them? Keep my word. That's where your life's going to be. There's no other life. He wanted them to get involved and start seeing that promised land flowing with milk and honey. He wanted them to see a land where they could plant and fruit would come out from the ground. He wanted to see a land of vineyards and olive yards. He wanted them to see houses in Deuteronomy 6. He said, I'll give you houses you didn't build. I'll fill it with all good things you didn't fill it with. They were going to actually live in houses. These people came out of slavery. They came out and they're living in tents. He said, I'm going to give you houses you didn't even build. He wanted them to look at what he said and say that in dream. Say dream. He wanted a people that would dream with him. He gave them an environment that was not like our environment, because our environment's constantly filled with distraction. Got to go to work. Got to do this. Got to do that. The got to do's. How many of you got a got to do's in your life? Got to get rid of the got to do. 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 And it's amazing when it comes time to prayer, is the urgency of the got to do. That got to do spirit. That's what it is. It's the got to do spirit. The urgency of the got to do. How it takes, it wasn't urgent before. Man, when you start praying, it's like, gotta do it now. If I don't do it now, the world's gonna come down. Amazing, I'm supposed to call this person, I forgot to call him, gotta do it. How many of you ever gotten up and attended to your gotta do? And then you never go back. You let enough gotta-dos in your life, you'll never return. All the enemy has to do is just throw some gotta-dos at you. Boom! Gotta-do, gotta-do, gotta-do. You think that's just you. Those are demonic powers shouting that. They don't even have to be evil. Just something to get you out from there, away from it. Because you are not a threat to him. Unless that word grows up in you. That's the only threat. The only thing the enemy respects is the word of God. then all he'll do is sign a government to try to steal it from you, to get you to turn aside, distract you. It's that way 20 years ago. It's that way now. Except when you get more skilled, you get his number. The word grows beyond the God of the Spirit. It overrides it. It's meaningless because of the force that's working inside you now is so much greater than the world system. I mean, we're all going to stand before the Lord. I think the greatest tears will be what we could have done. The capacity we had when he opens it and shows and what we actually didn't do because we failed to continue with him. I think when a 30-folder looks at a 100-folder, he's going to cry. I think someone who turned aside looks at a 100-fold glory, they're going to cry. We're not going to cry. Look at your neighbor and say, there ain't no crying. We're going to obtain. Praise God. All right, finish up with this particular verse here. I love this chapter right here, if you understand. James 1, verse 22, take your religious hat off. Anything you think you've been taught with this, we're going to slay that sacred cow. Verse 22, be doers of the word. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when he says be doers of the word? Activity. Gotta do. I should call this the gotta do spirit. Gotta do. Gotta do. He said be a doer. Be doer. Well, now let's keep that in context. Moses, children of Israel, Solomon. Let's keep it in context of faith here and see what he's actually saying. Be doers of the word, verse 22. Not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So we hear and receive. We hear and understand. We hear and keep. Now, when we say keep the word, we're not talking about taking some commandments and keep them so we can make God happy. Well, if I can just keep this commandment. My mom, I love my mom. She's in heaven now. But towards the end of her life, she was really got into the Lufkin. She got into church and they preached the commandments big time. She goes, now, you got to keep the commandments. All 10 of them. You better keep them. And she's always preaching at me, keep those commandments. I said, it's already been written inside me. She says, we got to keep those commandments. See, if you try to keep that is in trying to perfect you, you're missing the whole thing. You're moving from grace to works to law. The way you're going to keep it, we're talking about keeping a word of promise here, not a law of duty. Amen? For a whole lifetime, you could keep the word. That's what they did under the law. And Paul said, I was perfect. Hebrew of Hebrew, Pharisee of Pharisee, concerning the law, blameless. I kept it to perfection. That's what he said. Philippians 3, he said, but I count it but dung. He was standing in the Tullian keep, the Rome sewer system. That's where they chained him. Anybody want to be an apostle? Going once, going twice. They chained him in the Tullian keep, in the sewer system. Woke up the sewer, went to bed the sewer. And he said, I count it but the dung I'm standing in, that I may obtain Christ. Because it's not going to be obtained by works or keeping the law. We're talking about keeping the word. This word's already been sown in you. A living word that wants to explode into the day of the resurrection. That wants to explode into the day of the crown. It wants to explode into the day of promise. It's already programmed within. That's why he said, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, what's the genius of the seed? The end is already programmed from the beginning. He already puts the end. That's why God shows you the end. Because he's programming what's inside of you. He programs your faith. Verse 23. Here we go. Here's his definition of being a doer. This is awesome. Contagious. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer. He's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholds himself, goes his way, straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh, to do is to look. Say, to do is to look. He that looketh into the perfect law of liberty and what? Continues in the perfect law of liberty, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work of believing, of keeping, and looking, this man will be blessed. So let's look at this for a minute. Well, I started meditating on this a while back. I said, okay, this natural man goes, looks in front of the mirror. Every day he's going to look in the mirror, look in the mirror. Go say, look in the mirror. He beholds himself. See, he beholds himself. But then what happens? He beholds himself, but he goes his way and forgets what he's looking at. Say, forgets. Starts looking at something else. I started meditating. I realized, I said, behold himself in the mirror. This natural man. I'm like, but surely you're not telling me to go look at my natural man in the mirror. You kind of want me to forget this old man. Right? So sure you're not talking about. He said, read it again. I read it again. And if the Lord tells you to read it again, you're in for a ride. Read it again. That means start getting into it. So natural man. I went and looked up the natural man. Went and looked up Strong's Concordance, a natural man. And so natural man, and there's this word nativity. Say nativity. So he beholds his nativity face in a mirror. I kept saying, I can't get it. And all of a sudden this image shot out in front of me. I saw a nativity scene. And I thought, oh my, whoa! He beholds his birth of Christ face in a mirror. But then he goes his way and forgets what he was looking at. But he that keeps the word, say keeps the word, the doer of the word. What's he say about the doer? How's he say it? But whoso looketh, say looketh, into the perfect law of liberty. He's looking at the promise. He's keeping the word. He's continuing with the word. It's in the palms of his hands, frontlets of his eyes, in his mouth, in his heart. He does not despise. He continues to behold who he is. You see that? He's transformed. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll close. Let me show you what mirror he's talking about. This is the mirror he's got in front of us today. You're going to see different things in the mirror depending on where you are. He said, he that followeth me, he'll not walk in darkness, have the light of life. He goes, his last prayer was for us to be with him. Where I am, there shall you be also. Well, where is he for you? He might be at the door. He might be in the garden of rest for you. He might be in the place of exchange at the throne of grace. He might be in the Father with you, loving you. He might be in the day of the resurrection for other people and inviting you to come on over into the day of the resurrection. He might be in the crown. Man, we're going to wait for that day. Well, the Bible says you are already raised together and made to sit together with him on a wooden bench. You're sitting somewhere. It's a throne. You're going to sit in that throne. You're going to have to be a king. Something happened. He already crowned you. He finished you before he began. He is in different places for different people according to your faith, according to what he wants you to look at, according to how far you want to go with him. How far you want to go. Where are the multitudes? They're waiting to see. Where are the doers? Behold the doers. Praise God. Doers don't fill stadiums. When I say the doers of the word, The manifestors fill stadiums. The stadiums are not filled in the journey. They're filled in the birth. That's where the stadiums are. Or the multitudes, whatever you want to call it. Verse 17. He talks about the two covenants in this chapter. Moses with a veil over the heart. But with us, he's differentiating. That's why you don't go back on the old cloaking yourself with a whole bunch of stuff. They never obtained. You're not going to obtain. That system did not obtain the glory. They without us would not be made perfect. But even this day, verse 15, 2 Corinthians 3, when Moses read the veils upon their heart, nevertheless, when it shall turn the Lord, the veil be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Here it is. Ready? Here's your mirror right here. But we all, say we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, or changing the same image from glory to glory. Guess what he has us looking at right now? We're looking at the day of the resurrection. We're looking at the day of the finished resurrection. He goes, I am the resurrection. I am the life. To whom he justified, to them he glorified. He glorified you already in redemption. That's why the glory is within you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does that mean? The glory will be revealed from within us. He programmed your salvation. A spirit, soul, and body. It's up inside you. You have a body programmed inside you. You got a body, a brand new mind, a new emotions, a new heart. It's all up inside your born again spirit. When he sowed the seed of Christ, he programmed a living eternal body in there. And that body's going to come out in the day of the resurrection. But he says you can behold him in finality and be changed in the same glory you see. What are you looking at? What are you looking at? How are you going to be changed if you can't see anything? What are you looking at when you pray? That's what Kim said. It's not just words. You have to see. It's a living word that explodes and continues giving light. Even when you're in the desert. Desert, I'm not miserable in the desert anymore. I used to be very miserable. Then I learned what to look at. Buildings don't matter. He said, we're building something else anyway. We're building a house not made with hands. Don't matter. When the glory is there, don't matter if you're in a stable. Doesn't matter where you are. Don't matter. Nobody cares if glory's in there. Amen. Oh, one that cares is you. Well, when glory's there, that's what people come to look at. What are you looking at? Beholding him as in a mirror. He gets really bright. If you keep his word, he brightens up. And it gets very bright to where you behold interacting. And there's a transformation that comes. We're looking for the manifestation of the sons of God in the earth. We're looking for the day of manifested glory, seen again on the temple of the living God, manifesting the will of the Father in the earth. We're going to stay with the Word until that day comes. No need building. We got enough things built with the flesh, or half in, half out. I don't want to trade the glory for what we can do just to fill people up, fill a sanctuary up. I don't want to trade the journey. Because a lot of people say, you know, you'd be a fool if you just wouldn't teach such stuff all the time, you know. People choke on it. I said, how are we ever going to get there? If you get your kids Cheerios, if you give your 18-year-old Cheerios, he's not going to ever grow up. He wants meat. Strong meat belongs to those full age. Full age. Okay, Cody, come share. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.
Amen. So this is out of Hebrews 11, where it talks about Abel offered up a more excellent offering. It talks about Enoch, how he actually saw the Lord. And it goes all the way through all the pillars of faith, all of the Old Testament, David. And at the very last verse, I'm going to read the King James and then the Passion. He says, and these, all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And it kind of like what is he talking about? But Passion really kind of like breaks it open. These were the true heroes commended for their faith, yet they lived in hope without receiving the fullness of what was promised to them. So they received the word, but never the manifestation of it. But now God has invited us to live in something better than what they had, faith's fullness. This is so that they could be brought to finish perfection alongside us. Amen.
Hey, listen, we're generation, resurrection. God's going to start manifesting the glories of the age to come. He'll start manifesting on the temple just what we look like in the next dispensation. The body will start encountering resurrection life. The soul, the mind, I believe God's going to completely invade the mind. I believe the mind, the divine intelligence going to returning to the saints. A wholeness of emotions and heart is coming. Glory is coming out from the sea in these last days. Pretty exciting stuff. When you have nothing to look at out here, you're going to have to find it in His Word. The thing about our promise is not in the earth. It's in the right hand of God. So we have to get it from there to here. So I quit looking out here a long time ago. I start looking at His living word and learn to keep it. And man, does it expand. It's amazing if you stay with it. Not an easy thing to do, but God will teach us all how to do it. Amen. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.